Revelation chapter 22 tonight. Let me just talk to you a few minutes from my heart tonight. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 22, now this morning we looked at that little thought, it is done. In your life and in my life, it's done. But let me tell you something. A man or a woman, a boy or a girl without Jesus is undone. How many knows that? They're undone. Now watch what the Bible said right here in Revelation chapter number 22. The Bible said here in verse number 17, and the Spirit and the, who's, and the what? The bride. Okay, who's the bride? Are you part of the bride? Raise your hand tonight if you, thank God I'm in the bride. I've been born again. One day I'm going to get married to Jesus. Amen. There's going to be a marriage supper. I'm in the bride of Christ. Now watch. The Bible said here, the Spirit and the bride say, what do they say? What do they say? Come. Brother Steve, isn't that what God's trying to challenge our hearts to do? Just pick a gospel track or just share a word. Just say come. You know, sometimes it'll be come to church. Sometimes it'll be come to Jesus. You'll have the opportunity actually to present a thorough gospel message. Not always, but sometimes you will. And then the Bible said, let him that heareth say, come. And then let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Boy, that goes right back to this morning. The Bible said in verse number 6, and he said unto me, it is done. This is Revelation 21, 6. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. You know, we just went through Christmas and we just went through the New Year's. And there's a lot of people that tried to satisfy their thirst with a lot of different things. But God put a thirst in every soul that only Jesus can satisfy. Tonight, as we go over to the book of John chapter 15, I'll just give you some things tonight that, you know, if we would commit and we would be successful to share the gospel at least once a week, that I think would these things would need to be evident in our life and prevalent in our life. Jesus said in verse 1 of John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The Lord just spoke to my heart. I've never said what I'm about to say, but if he said I'm the true vine, that must mean there's a lot of fake vines out there. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. Listen to me carefully tonight. I'm not fussing. There's a lot of people think they're going to heaven because they're connected to the lodge. You listen to me tonight. There's only one true vine. That's Jesus. There's a lot of people think they're going to heaven because they're connected to a denomination or to a church. There's some people that think they're going to heaven because they're connected to a cult. But I'm telling you tonight, only those that are connected to Christ are going to make heaven their home one day after a while. Let's look here in the Bible. The Bible said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. That right there is a little phrase that if we would be used of God this year, we ought to learn that little phrase. For without me you can do nothing. We can't do anything without him. Watch what the Bible said now. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go. You need to keep that little word in mind. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Go. First two letters in the word gospel, or G-O. Go. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father, of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. There's that separation, Brother John, you was talking about this morning. But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Pray with me just a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. It's so rich. It's so pure. It's so powerful. It's so quick. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that just what you've put on my heart tonight would sink down deep into our ears, deep into our hearts. Father, tonight that you would challenge us and stir us, our Father, to be used of thee in this year. Lord, we pray tonight in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. Amen and amen. I've already touched on the first thing tonight. There's seven things I want to give you quickly. And I believe if these things are evident in our lives, that it will really help us in being that witness that the Lord would have us to be. I'll tell you something tonight. I believe there was a day in my life when I was a better witness than I am today. Is there anybody in that boat tonight? There was a day in my life when I was more conscious of souls and more conscious of his presence. And I believe tonight, listen to me carefully, I believe the Lord wants to challenge us to get back to that place in our life. How many would say it's a place of blessing? Amen. Amen. Now, let me give you some words tonight that the Lord spoke to my heart about as I went down through the text. The first word we've already touched on, and that's the word connectedness. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Now, we understand here, I went back and looked at some commentary by Albert Barnes and to make sure I was on the right track. But we understand here that some of these branches are going to be burned. But let me tell you something right now. If you understand the Bible, these are the Judases. These are the ones that are not connected. If you've been born again and you've been connected to the vine, amen. And I believe that Jesus has given us a prescription here that we're going to bear fruit if we're connected to the vine. He says fruit. He says more fruit. And he says much fruit. Now, I believe tonight with all of my heart that if we sow sparingly, we cannot look to do anything except reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, then we could expect God to give a bountiful harvest. The word of God said here looking at connected. I'm the true vine. My Father's the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. So if you're hooked up to the vine, and this reminded me when I studied this that last year I let it get by me. I've got a pear tree at the house that right now, this time of year, as soon as I can get a 40-degree day, it needs to be pruned bad. I let it get by last year, and first thing I knew, Brother Grizzle, the thing was budding out, and it was too late then. But right now is when I need to get on, and I need to get it done. So I said all that to say this, Miss Eve, remind me. Amen. If you don't remind me, I'll put you on the ladder, and I'll remind you. Amen. But we need to get that done. But listen, Jesus, when he saved us, we got connected. But just because we're connected doesn't mean that we don't need to be trimmed, that we don't need to be pruned. Say amen right there. Now, I tell you something, that's one of the things Bible reading will do. That's one of the things Bible preaching will do. That's one of the things praying will do. That's one of the things a godly wife will help a husband with. A godly husband will help his wife with. A godly mom and dad will help their children with. Amen. We'll understand that we're not perfect, and there's some things at times that need to be pruned out of our lives. Connectedness. Then the second word is the word cleanliness. He said in verse number 3, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Brother John made a statement this morning. He said, there's the Bible. And he laid it over there like that. Listen to me carefully. And then he said, he called it the one-eyed monster. Brother John, my granddaughter didn't know what that one-eyed monster was. Amen. I knew what she was talking about. And he said, I look over at that Bible and look up there at that. And then after a while, sometimes it gets to bothering you bad enough that you realize you need to turn something off and get in the book. Say amen right there. Don't look at me like that. The Bible's not just to set a cup of coffee on. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I've not found anything on that television that would help me to want to live more like Jesus. But right here in this book, it's something that'll help me. It'll clean me. The Bible talked about the washing of water by the Word. And I believe with all my heart, this is a good place. You know, I was thinking today, I think the Lord's Prayer said, give us this day our daily bread. If you understand what I'm saying here, it's give us this day our daily bath. We need a bath as well as we need bread. Somebody help me. And so the way I'm looking at this, if God's going to use me to help somebody else, then number one, I got to be connected. But number two, I got to be clean. How many believes that tonight? If Miss Eve fixes a pan of lasagna, and she does, I didn't get this big without eating lasagna. And I go to get me a fork, and it's got last week's dried lasagna in it. I'm going to lay that fork aside, and I'm going to hunt me a clean fork. Somebody help me. God is going to use a clean vessel. He wants us to be vessels that are clean for His honor, for His glory. Not only is there, I see the word connectedness and the word cleanliness, but look, I'm looking at the word constancy now. How many have a problem in your life? I maybe should put it like this. How many beside me have a problem being consistent? You're up and down, in and out. How many knows what I'm talking about? But Jesus said, He uses the word abide over and over. That means stay put. Stay right there. Don't just float in and out. I would to God that God's people get a hold of that concerning the Bible, concerning their church attendance, concerning prayer, concerning being a witness. Listen, constancy, just consistency, just being at it day in, day out, day in, day out. I was sitting there thinking as I think Brother Ralphie opened up with the song, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Well, Brother Ralph, if that's true, and it is, I thank God I've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Somebody had to be sounding it. Yeah. And I was sitting there with you singing that song, Brother Ralph, and I was thinking about an old preacher friend that I had. His name was Melvin White. Now, you know, you remember back in the days of the hippies, and you remember back in the days, how many knows what a boom box is? Some of these youngins don't even know what a boom box is because they've got a little thing that looks like a credit card. Now it goes in their pocket, and they put earbuds in their ears, and they can listen to whatever they want to listen to. You say, how do you know? I got grandchildren. Listen to me. One of the dangers of that is you don't know what they're listening to. Help me. But back in the days of the boom box, Brother Steve, this is a good illustration. Some of the kids, you know, they were walking down the road and hair halfway down their back. Man, they just going along, you know. How many knows what I'm talking about? Pull up next to a Volkswagen at the red light and its doors are going boom. Boom, boom. Brother Melvin was a preacher. Brother Melvin got him a boom box, Brother Grizzle. Carried it around. He'd plug in the inspirations. He'd go in people's houses, brother. Brother Steve, he'd sit down at the kitchen table with a boom box. Put a tape in. Put it in. Push play, and they'd have some songs. He'd say, let's listen to this and see if God won't speak to our heart. I'm talking about sinner people. He'd play them a song. He'd have church with them at the kitchen table. Let's pray. We say we listen to another song. Then he'd tell them about Jesus, Brother Al. Somebody got it right. Listen to me. I'll never forget what Brother Danny said to me one time. Somebody said, you can't build a church on singing. And I believe that's true. But Brother Danny said when he heard that, he said, it's hard to build one without it. And another man said this. He said, singing is kindling. And it's good kindling. I'm going to tell you what. Singing has a way of tendering our hearts. I mean, when I was listening to the song, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Then what did it say? Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And so, there needs to be a consistency. I look at the word consecration here. I looked up the word consecrate and it means to make an object of honor, to hallow. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You say, preacher, what's that got to do? Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified. How many believes that our lives that we ought to want to bring honor and glory to Him that loved us and gave Himself for us? I'm looking now at the word commandment. Look in verse number 10. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. The Bible said in verse 12, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. I thought about a passage of scripture. I think this is something that we've all heard at some point in our life. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, down towards the end of the book, Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. How many's heard that verse before? How many's ever tied that in with telling somebody else about Jesus? Let me tell you something right now. The commandments are more than the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, a new commandment give I unto you. He tells us in the Word of God that He took all the law of Moses. It hung it on two. Love the Lord thy God. All your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then them wise, crack Pharisees said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. Which one was neighbor? One that went where he was. One that had what he needed. The one that shared what he needed. The one that spent some time with him. And so, I want us to see that this is not something that Jesus suggest to his children. It's something that he's commanded his children. To bear fruit. I'll say this tonight. Look at verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. There is nothing, nothing in the world like one of God's children that's so full of God's joy. How many's ever met somebody like that? How many's ever poured some Coke on some ice and before you knew it, it was running over the top, running down the sides of the glass? How many's ever met somebody like that with the joy of God? I mean, they're just bubbling. Just bubbling. Brother Ralph, could it be that they were more concerned about what Jesus is saying here in this chapter? You see, over there in Psalm 51, when David gets right with God, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." His joy was gone. Can't you just imagine David in that year? He's gotten Bathsheba pregnant. He has had Uriah killed. Can't you just imagine David trying to be a witness to somebody in that condition? Tell them how good God is. I believe David's servant would have vomited in his lap. That one that said, "Is not this Bathsheba the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" In other words, what happened was David wasn't clean. And so there's a year, at least a year that goes by. In Psalm 51, I'll tell you just briefly what happened. David got clean. And when David got clean, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Listen carefully. He said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee." Now I'm clean. Now I'm going to get back to the commandment. I'm going to get back to doing what God wants me to do. I'm just sharing my heart tonight. I believe with all my heart that God wants us to be so full of joy. The Bible said joy unspeakable and full of glory. It comes through obedience. The next word I want to call your attention to, the Bible said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." I'm being honest with you. I've got the word compassion right there. And I have never been able to see this but one way until I looked at it this time. I believe there's another application. No scripture is any private interpretation. And we know that Jesus died for us and that there's greater love can no man have than to lay down his life. But is there not a text in there where Jesus said, "Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my name's sake shall save it." Is that not in the Bible? Would it not be applicable to say that if we really love people, that we ought to lose our life? That doesn't mean we need to die for them. Jesus died for all of us. But it does mean we need to die to self. Help me, somebody, right there. The Apostle Paul, Brother John was in his text this morning in Romans. He said, "Brother John, I die daily." Give us this day our daily bread. I believe the Apostle Paul took that daily bath. He ate that daily bread. And he went out of there, out of that prayer closet, out of that time alone with God, with a compassion for others. In verse number 15, he said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father have been made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." How many believes when somebody genuinely gets saved by the grace of God, that is fruit that remains? I believe that too. Give you the last thing tonight. Right here is why. I believe right here is why many, many people will never get involved in telling others about Jesus. Listen to me carefully. Not throwing stones, but you see if you don't agree with me. Look at verse number 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The last word that God gave me in this text was the word conflict. I don't like it, do you? Can I tell you something right now? If we are what we're supposed to be for the glory of God, you can mark this down. First of all, there's going to be a conflict going on inside of you. How many realizes the flesh wants absolutely nothing to do with the will of God? The flesh wants nothing to do with doing the work of God. Nothing. Nothing. There's a conflict goes on inside. But not only that, there's a conflict going on in the world. Beloved, when you and I, listen, I thank God it's not the majority of the time. But there have been some times, beloved, listen, when I made an effort to share Jesus with somebody that I tell you I left feeling about that tall. How many knows what I'm talking about? I'm reminded when I say that. Of the lady in Wise. When a stop knocked on the door. Her children, two of her teenagers, had been saved by the grace of God under a gazebo in the backyard. And a neighbor's teenager as well. Brother Herman Anderson was with me. I saw Brother Herman Anderson not long before he died. And he still remembered that. He never got over that. It brought a joy in his heart. He was up there on the mountain preaching revival for us. I praise God for those old men. Amen. That stayed by the stuff all the way to the grave. Thank God for them. But I tell you what, Brother, they didn't do it without conflict. They didn't care. They just wanted to take their stand with the book. I found out I kept visiting with those kids, and one of them finally broke down one day and said, Mom won't let us come to church. They told me they was going to come and told me they were going to come. Told Brother Herman, we went back that week. Yeah, we're going to come. Finally, they broke down and just said, Mom won't let us. And really, that didn't, you know, it didn't bother me too bad. I said, well, just time to go to work on Mom. I mean, really. That's what I thought. Knocked on the door one day, Mom was home. And I tell you, she said, I just wish you'd mind your own business. Man, I tell you, I said it a lot kinder than she said it. I just, real sheepish-like, I wasn't ready for that, Brother Rose. You ever had something that you wasn't ready for? I wasn't ready for that. I'm going to tell you something, there was a world of difference between her kids and her. I don't know how that happened, but there was a world of difference. I don't know if there was bitterness. I don't know if there was hardness over the years. I don't know if it was callousness. I don't know what it was. There's a world of difference between talking to her kids and talking to her. Her kids were mannerly, respectful. Thank God for that. I turned to walk down off the porch, and I really believe to this day, I'm not smart enough to think about what I'm about to tell you that I told her. I didn't come up with this. I believe God came down with it. I turned around and she's closing the door. And I said, wait just a minute. What? She cracked the door. I said, I just want to ask you a question before I go. Listen to me carefully. I was weeping. You say whatever you want to, but that helps. It broke my heart when she said what she said. It broke my heart that my hopes that we just get Mom saved, then they'll all come to church. I hope and pray I see her in heaven. I really do. I hope there comes a day when maybe one of them kids, Brother Steve, will get a hold of enough Bible to witness to Mom and say, Mom, Jesus loves you. I said, ma'am, if I was going down this road here and I looked over here and your mobile home was on fire, I said, would you just want me to go on down the road and mind my own business? Or would you want me to stop, beat on the door, see if you're okay, see if your children are okay? She said, well, I guess I'd appreciate it if you stopped. I said, ma'am, that's why I stopped. I said, you're headed for a lot worse fire than a mobile home being on fire. Brother Aaron, with tears running down off my chin, I was able to tell that lady that. Now, you say whatever you want to, but I'd hate to be a lost soul and somebody say that to me. What I'm trying to say tonight is this. There's going to be some conflict along the way. And it should not surprise us. It shouldn't have shocked me, Brother Steve. I was a young preacher. But it shouldn't have shocked me. Because look what they did to him. Look what they said to him. Look how they treated him. And it shouldn't be a surprise. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, just remember something. They hated me before they hated you. Really, when it comes right down to it, they don't hate us too bad anyway, Brother Gary. It's our Jesus. That's what really bothers them. Our Lord and our Savior. So tonight, with the visitation and coming up and getting signed up, the Lord just put it on my heart. If we'll just be connected, saved, clean, consistent, consecrated, willing to obey the commandment of God, full of compassion, willing to put up with some conflict along the way, I believe God will help us and bless us. I never have faced any conflict, Brother John, like Stephen faced. Ain't nobody ever stoned me. Amen. Stephen was willing to stand in the gap. And I say tonight, God help Pastor to be willing to stand in the gap. How many of you want to stand with me? Amen. Let's stand in that gap. Let's commit to that once a week, sharing the gospel. Brother John Miller, I think you all were at the hospital that morning that Jim got saved, weren't you? I thought you were. Because I tell you why I thought that, brother, for a minute. How many knows Brother Andy Sensabaugh? Here's another illustration, Brother Steve. Jim and Marge had gotten saved because Joy had a burden for him and just told me after church on a Sunday night, Pastor, this man's 81 years old. He's getting ready to have open heart surgery and he's lost. They got saved, and I went up to check on Sister Georgia. She was in there under the knife, having surgery. And I guess it was all over me, wasn't it, Brother? Yeah, Brother, ask Brother John after church. The only thing in this world's any better than just being able to take a Bible and tell somebody else about Jesus and watch them trust Jesus. The only thing that's any better is getting saved yourself. That's the only thing to even compare to it. Well, I met Brother Andy Sensabaugh. I'm in the truck. He's flagging me down. I'm leaving out of the parking garage. And he's flagging me down, shouting the glory of God. I rolled the window down. I heard the good news, brother. I heard the good news. I said, what are you talking about? That guy got saved up there on the fourth floor. I said, praise the Lord, brother. Here's what I want to tell you. If we'll do what God wants us to do, it won't just help us. It won't just help them. But it'll help everybody around us. How many believes that's the truth? It'll help everybody. How many's glad you come tonight? How many's planning on stopping by that paper out there in the vestibule? There's 40. Something like 47. They've got 7 on it now, Miss Eve. 8 on it now. Who said 8? You said there's 8 on it now. There's 42 slots. Amen. No, don't say, preacher, because you're so big you can sign up for another slot. I don't want to hear that. Amen. I love you tonight. Y'all believe that? How many believes he loves us tonight? How many believes he loves Bloomingdale tonight? Them folk down there where you work. He wants to give them a new life. Father, thank you tonight for your blessings. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that don't know you, never been connected, God, that this might be the night they'd understand their need of thee. Lord, if there's someone here tonight, maybe never shared the gospel with someone, never shared an invitation, never shared a gospel tract, God, I pray you'd challenge our hearts tonight. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Father, tonight, thank you for John 15. Thank you for loving us. Lord, the only reason we love you is because you first loved us. I pray, Father, tonight, you'd fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your love. Help us to be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.